Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to week six of Inside College Soccer Podcast Live, your question and answer version. Really excited this week. So we've got Joe Flanagan with us. Hey, Joe.
Hello, hello.
Reese Canella. What's up, Reese?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
We've got Chris Cousins over in England. It's back to midnight your time, isn't it again, Chris?
It certainly is. Tired eyes here.
And then a man I've bugged for 5 weeks to come on. Hey, Danny Reynolds.
Hey, Don. How are you?
All right. Danny's been going through a lot. We'll do his story later on another podcast another day. And then a new man on board with SRUSA, another goalkeeper. Yay, Keith Jarema. How are you, Keith?
Good. How are you doing, Dan?
Right on. Did I miss anybody?
We've got a guest in the room, Lucas. He's just watching in by the look of it.
Hey, Lucas, if you got a question, you can raise your hand or you can type it in the chat box there. All right, everybody, let's get going, Chris. We got a lot of questions this week. And I think before we got started, we have a few announcements, right?
Yeah, we're just a little catch up, a recap of the last week. I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. So you just read what you see, Don.
All right, here we go, folks. What do we have? What am I looking at, Chris?
Can you see anything?
I see week six.
You see week six?
Inside College Soccer Live, week six.
Oh, that's annoying because I don't. Right, bear with me.
All right. We'll get you, folks. We'll get you there. So we've got... Here we go.
No, you don't see it. Don't get excited yet. Don't get excited.
All right. Hey, Lucas. We're waiting. Hey, Don. This is Lucas Wong from Premier Soccer Academy. Hey, Lucas. How are you? Yeah, I think we've talked before. Yeah. All right. Sean Agnew, one of our scouts, I think, introduced us. Got Sean Agnew up in British Ontario. British Columbia.
We're good now, Dom.
All right. What's been going on at USA? SRUSA. All right. We've had a couple of great podcasts that just came out. Episode 37, Thomas Dooley. I reached out to Thomas just on a whim, and he agreed to do it. So he's the current coach of the Philippines national team. German by birth, American by birth. And you can hear his story about how he came in, got discovered by the national team. What a great story. Thomas Dooley. And of course, he was on the U.S. men's national team staff with Jurgen Klinsmann. And then we had an episode 38. We recorded this one quite a while ago, but it kind of got lost in the pileup, I think. And we finally back out. It's a really nice story about Andre's background, how he got started, 18 and a half year coach at the Division I level, and of course went from junior college, won a national championship at a new program, and then played at Indiana. What a great story that is. All right, so those are out now. We've got Keith with us. Yay, Keith. All right, there we go. And then Ryan Morris out of Houston, Texas, former college coach, coached up in the Northeast for most of his career. Keith, you coached at where? Detroit Mercy, right?
UD Mercy, University of Michigan, and then a couple of small schools, Rochester College and Mary Grove. And then now I'm the goalkeeper consultant for Washburn University in Topeka, Kansas.
Yeah, right on. And like I said, you're a goalkeeper guy, huh?
Yep, specializing in goalkeepers. I'm also a scout for U.S. soccer in the North region, I'm an instructor for United Soccer Coaches for the goalkeeping diplomas.
Right on, Keith. And we've got some exciting new announcements in the next, by the beginning of the year, we will announce some of the things that Keith has going. We've got some new SRUSA programs that'll involve Keith. So Stuart Flaherty, I was hoping he would join us. And then I talked to him earlier today and he was on a bus. Congratulations, Stuart. He took over mid-season as the head coach of Michigan Stars, and they were actually struggling a little bit, turned it into a national champion. What a great story. Stuart Flaherty. And if you haven't heard it yet, episode, I don't know, 30-something, Chris, 34, 35.
Yeah.
We did an interview with Stuart Flaherty, and that's another really good one. He is the former coach at Dartmouth. So, and Babson, and yeah, a couple others. So, yeah, congratulations.
It's a good episode. I enjoyed that. It's all the sports psychology stuff is good.
Yeah, he's a sports psychologist. We have a sports psychologist on staff now, folks. So, what a great deal. All right. Hey, this week, November 13th, 11th through 13th, we'll have Blake Reynolds and Andre Luciano. Blake was going to be with us, guys, but it's his anniversary. So, I told him, take the day off. So we're going to be scouting this weekend. ECNL, that's the Phoenix event coming up. So if you need to be scouted, we added Andre because we had Blake's schedule was filling up pretty quickly. And so Andre's going to go. If you want to be scouted, how do they do that, Chris?
There's been some social media posts like recently with like a direct link to how to get scouted, but if not, just go to the website and just email us. We'll connect them.
We'll get it to them. But yeah, you're right. Social media posts, you'll see this image, and then there's a link on there and you can put in to be scouted. So if you think you might need help in college and you want to know what level you think we could place you at, you want our advice on that, then we can go out and scout you. And we'll be scouting clients when we're there too. All right, what else we got? Trial day in York, England. That's the 12th of November, trial day. And that's on the women's side. So that's in York. So if you're listening to this and you're over there and you want to be scouted to see if we think that you could come over and play in the United States at the college level, that would be the event.
That's the last trial day before the men's showcase of the year. So.
Yes, which is really important. And by the way, we do know college coaches. I talked to Michelle at Baylor. They're going to be flying over for that. And I know we've got other coaches flying over for that. So that'll be exciting. And we've got our academy. Yay, we finally announced it, folks. SRUSA U.S. Soccer Prep Academy. So the idea is, look, we've always sent kids over to Spain and they were part of that system, but they didn't have anybody really looking after them, taking care of them from a college aspect, making sure that their test scores were being done, making sure that they were prepping properly for college, making sure that working with them to get them placed. And then we're going to have, Chris, I think we're going to have a showcase in conjunction with this next year, right?
Yeah. We're going to do a couple this year as well. We did one in June with the guys. We've got a women's one in 2 weeks, actually. But when we're based there full time, it'll just be whenever we want to do them, really.
So you can reach out to any of our staff or you can simply apply at sportsrecruitingusa.com/academy. And if you want to go to Spain and play and live for 12 months, and by the way, it's about half the price of all the other academies that I've seen. I don't think that I could live in Spain for the amount that they charge. And it includes food, housing, the coaching, the college prep program, everything. What a great deal. And my own son, you can listen to his podcast. It's in the 20 somethings, but Brad talks about he's at North Carolina State now, but he talks about having gone into England for 2 years and played at Team Bath, got a little trial at FC Cologne in Germany. But the 2 year gap year that he did really set him up for the rest of his college career and helped him be successful. He got to grow up a little bit. It was really good for him. All right.
Yeah, so it's a good experience. It's a good experience. Anyway.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Fantastic. In southern Spain on the beach. Okay, and then we've announced Danny. Come on, talk about this for us. Danny Reynolds came to us with an idea. He's a genius. And so we said, we think this is a good idea. What's the story, Danny?
Well, thank you for calling me a genius. No, I haven't heard that in a while.
The idea was genius, you said, actually, didn't he?
No, I think he said I was a genius with a genius idea. Anyway, so, I came to Chris and Don about the idea of the club consultancy. So we obviously do a very, very good job at SR USA handling elite clients. But there's also something to be said about some clubs around the country not doing their, maybe not having the time or not just doing their due diligence with helping players market themselves to college programs. So I came up with the idea of instead of us handling just the elite clients, maybe opening up a branch to where we are able to inform and educate whole clubs. So if anybody's here that, you know, anybody's watching that doesn't have a college recruitment director within their club, you can reach me at danny@srusasoccer.com, can let me know and I can reach out to your club and we can see if it's a feasible fit.
And so think of it, Danny, if I'm describing this right, like a virtual
virtual, right? College. Yeah, virtual college recruitment director. But, I'm excited about it because it's not just going to be virtual. I'm actually going to be doing an in-person visit a year, which means I get to visit with the coaches, get to know people on a personal basis as well. I'll just be helping these guys 24/7. They'll have my personal phone number and I'll be helping them market themselves just like I did when I was coming over in the process. I didn't go through a recruiting agency. I did it myself. So firsthand kind of know how to do it.
So by the way, we're not against do it yourself, but we also know that a lot of people need help and direction and all of that. And we think clubs should be helping. And I think most clubs think they should be helping. A lot of clubs just don't know who to go to and they don't have the resources. So we've created a program. And by the way, the pricing on this is going to come in at less money than most clubs spend for their in-person director. So we think we can save clubs money, which hopefully results in you as the kids and the families saving a little bit of money also. So we appreciate that. All right. Thanks, Danny. All right. First question, guys. You ready? This is from Hang Solo. I love it. So he's either a climber, maybe solo. I don't know. I don't want to think about it too much. Why top soccer coaches? Why do top soccer coaches never come to Puerto Rico to take a look at our young players in tournaments? He talks about the soccer federation there. We don't need to get into that. But he says that 5% of the rich kids get a chance and the other 95%. Never get a chance going to Puerto Rico. Joe, why do you think college coaches don't go to Puerto Rico?
That's a tough one, really. I mean, obviously, it's, not knowing what they're going to go, if they go down there, what they're going to see, the level of talent. There's a little uncertainty, a little unknown there. Right now, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of showcases in the United States that they struggle to get to and just in the local travel maybe. So I think maybe getting more exposure down there and maybe whether it's video or some of that to show that there's talent down there might attract college coaches to go down there.
Kind of the reason why we went to Columbia. College coaches weren't coming to Columbia. So we went to Columbia. We established an office there and now we're bringing those players over here. It's one of those things, Hang Solo, that the Muhammad won't come to them or the mountain won't come to Muhammad, then Muhammad has to go to the mountain. And the coaches in this case are the mountain. And it's hard to get them to go to out of the way places. And as you said, a lot of the poor kids there, they don't have the money to come to the United States anyways. They're going to require full scholarships and the coaches don't know if it's worth the risk. So what else we got, Chris? ECNL question. Is ECNL boys losing relevance to the MLS next? So that's a fair question. What's your experience there, Keith, with that? Do you think that MLS Next is surpassing or has surpassed ECNL? But where are the elite players really playing?
I'll talk on my my experience, from what I've heard from the local clubs here in Michigan, is ECNL is inconsistent in terms of talent. And so right now our MLS Academy teams are a higher level than the ECNL boys.
Right. And Chris, I mean, Reese, you've been to ECNL and you've been to MLS Next events. In fact, you and I are getting ready to go to one in December, right? What do you think about that? Do you agree with what those coaches were telling Keith?
Yeah, I think the, you know, MLS Next seems to have the better players. And, you know, we are at these events with other coaches, right? Rubbing shoulders with coaches. We're networking with them and talking to them. And when we was at ECNL back in July in San Diego, the consensus that I found was that coaches were saying, yeah, we have to be here at ECNL, but we're going to spend most of our time and resources at MLS Next. And the MLS Next had the better players, had the better level of players. So, yeah, I would say ECNL probably is losing ground. I think MLS Next is probably looked at as one, and, you know, and ECNL is probably looked at as 1A. Both good leagues, both serve their purpose, but I think if you had to choose between one or two, I think you'd probably go with MLS Next.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? I'm noticing at tournaments, too. I was at Dallas Cup this year, and then down the road was MLS having an event in Frisco, Texas. And Dallas Cup, where it used to be packed wall-to-wall with coaches, was, by comparison, a ghost town. And I was able to run into some friends that I knew. UConn came over, and my son's old coach from Georgetown came over, and coaches from Indiana came over. And that was on a day where there was a little break in the MLS Next. They came over to Dallas Cup to check out some kids, but then they were right back to MLS Next. So I think, Frank, I think your instincts are good. I think that MLS Next is starting to pass up on ECNL boys. Although, by the way, college coaches tell us all the time that they don't care where the players are from, as long as they're good and have played against high level competition and are competitive. Right, Joe?
Absolutely. I think that I think both leagues offer a lot. I think that obviously the MLS clubs, the actual MLS affiliate clubs like the FC Dallas or Galaxy or LAFC, you know, they definitely attract the better talent. But I think I know in Southern California, after those MLS clubs, the drop off is kind of big to where the MLS team or the ECNL teams are as good or better. So as it should be, the MLS affiliate clubs should be drawing the top talent. And then from there, I think it's kind of it's pretty even, you know. So in college player, and like what Don just said, college coaches are going to go to where if they can find a player, like my son plays in ECNL, he's going to Notre Dame. So there's definitely talent in both leagues.
And I think that's really important for people to understand. And I think that goes for the Elite 64, and it goes for even the local leagues and the DPLs and the leagues in the West. If the player's good, one of the girls we just announced the signing of wasn't in any of these leagues, but she was in Southern California. So she was able to show herself against good level competition, and now she's going to UNLV. So it happens. All right, what else we got? David Murphy asks, hi, my son's hoping to come over in 2023 as an international. He plays for a full-time UK team under 20. Would coaches pay attention and reference from ex-professional international players and our pro licensed coaches? What do you think, Chris? It's a good one for you.
Sorry, just unmuting there. It's a tough one, really, because I always say, right, yeah, we send the references in because it's good to have a look at what other people think, and it's always positive. It's a tough one. I'm more interested to know, like, for example, Joe Reese and yourself, like, as former college coaches, if an international contacts you, you have no, like, sort of, like, benchmark of any of these references and what they mean at all. I don't know. Would you take any note of that? I'm not trying to avoid answering it, but it's just kind of, for me personally, the references don't really mean much. It's nice to see what they're going to say, but before we market a player, I'm going to check out a player. I'm going to make sure he's obviously a good person, good player. Check out his academics. And I'm going to build a full picture up for myself. And then you obviously put them forward. And the references never really get used personally. But that's, if you call the middleman, which is kind of us, directly to the coaches, what do you guys take much stock from them? I don't know.
I was going to say, I think you'd look at it, you know, and you may use the references if, again, you're cutting out the middleman and it's just the coach and the player. I think you've got to do your due diligence and you have to look at everything that the player is bringing. And so if you have this extra bit of information, then you probably want to use it. But ultimately, it's going to come down to, you know, how good the player is academically, you know, is the player going to be able to get by? And, you know, obviously financially, is the player going to be able to afford what the school was costing? Because typically universities in the States are more expensive than universities back home anyway. So I would look at the references, but it's not going to be the be all end all.
So Reese, just say, for example, because obviously, you know, the English side as well. Let's say you've got a player, the email arrives and there's a reference with it from a player who's played in the Premier League. And this player says, top player, can go all the way to the top, would highly recommend him. That's kind of a typical kind of reference from anyone, really. Yeah. But it's come from somebody who's played in the Premier League. Does that kind of sway you at all? Or does it kind of make you go, you're still going to do your own checks, but what does it make you think?
Yeah, you've got to do your own checks, but that definitely is going to pique your interest, because I think in any industry, whenever your name is attached to something, whether it's a player, whether it's a service, whether it's a product, you know, you want to, and, you know, if you're a reference for someone, then you want to make sure that, you know, when your name is attached to whatever it might be, that it's shone in a good light. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, I represent SRUSA, right? I believe in the product. I believe in the service that we give. And my name's attached to it. So, you know, we talk about the convention, right, that we're going to go to in January. They're going to see me, Reese Canelo, and then they're going to, you know, probably attach Reese Canelo to SRUSA. And that's something that I am totally fine with. So as a reference, you have to be comfortable in saying this is a good player. And so if someone's done that, then I'm like, okay, you know, I'll have a look at that, because that's something that a person, a player, is definitely going to, you know, use if they can. And obviously coaches are going to want to look at that themselves.
Right. Yeah. What else we got on that one? Next one.
Well, just to add to that, like when I get a player who comes through to me, like especially in England, I'll always ask for like a reference from somebody. So for example, and then I'll reach out to that person, even before I watched a little bit of a video, but even before we sign them, just on video alone, like a highlight video, I can't accept it without seeing them in person or something like that. But I always reach out to a reference. But long story short, references are good. And if it's from somebody who's played at a certain level, it will add some sort of value. But I wouldn't say it's the be all and end all by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Jennifer Herman asks, well, we were talking about roster sizes. She says, what do you consider a normal size roster and what's large? So just to preface it, I had put out a tweet and some posts on Facebook about, look, stop blaming college soccer coaches when you see these 40, 50, 60, 80, 100 person rosters. It's not their fault. It's in their contract. They're being forced to do it. Nobody wants to go, yeah, for 48,000, I think I want to manage 100 kids. Nobody's doing that. That they're being forced to do it to keep their jobs. And then there's a few other reasons, and it could be because college, the amount of scholarship money that they get is tied to how many students they bring in over a number of 25, things like that. But I don't know. I think anything over 35 starts to get really tough to manage the players. I always shot for 30. I've got friends of mine that have said they shoot for 35, 38, because look, you always have 2, 3, 4 injuries. You always have 2, 3, 4 goalkeepers. And, you know, if you want to play 11 aside the entire season, you always got 1 or 2 kids that are in trouble, huh, Joe? For one reason or another, right? What do you think? What's a large roster size for, in your opinion?
For me, I think I've always, you know, tried to go for around 30. I always thought that was a good number. If you have three keepers, maybe in that, like Dom mentioned, you have three, four injuries, you're right away, you're sitting around 22, 23, you know, field players. And, you know, I think the one thing that people don't realize and the way I tried to justify or the way I looked at my roster was that, you know, when you're done with your fall season and you lose 7, 8 seniors, whatever your regular roster is, right away, you've gone from 30 to 22 going into spring. And again, you want your spring to be able to develop players and play appropriate, you know, competitive trainings and stuff like that. And if you're sitting at a roster of around 24 and you lose 7, 8 people, you go to the spring season, you're down to like 14. It's not a good season. It's not good. It's not a good growth for spring. So 30 sounds like a big number, but when you lose 8 players, you can't gain those 8 players in your, you know, between your fall and your spring and go out to the transfer market and grab 8 players. So to me, in terms of depth and your overall program, I always believe 30 was a good number, maybe a little bit more. Although I do think now it's getting to hard to kind of manage that a little bit. So you do kind of create a little bit of, hopefully there's going to be opportunity for those kids at that lower part of the roster as you move forward. I mean, they're not just, you know, bodies that there may be freshmen that they're going to get chances that spring season of their freshman year and then move it into their sophomore year. So I think there's the reason why 30 is a good number is because, you know, your overall program, it matters to be able to continue with a good competitive environment throughout the whole academic year.
Yeah, I agree. So would you agree with that too, Reese, that anything you start getting up into those 40s, that those are, gets tougher to manage those kids?
Yeah, in and around 30 is great, I think. Now, some schools are restricted. So where, Don, you had mentioned earlier that obviously it's in coaches' contracts and they're saying, hey, we need 40, 50, 60, whatever it might be. Some schools can only have 28, 29, 30. And that's right. D1, it's D2. So it goes both ways. I don't know if you can say what's normal because there's so many schools, so many divisions, so many conferences. And so I don't know if you can say what a normal roster size is, but I think what people have to look at is if there's a large roster size and you can do that, you can go on the roster of any school, see how many there are. If there's a large roster size, you have to ask the coach, why is there a large roster? Do they have a developmental team? Do they have a JV team? You have to look
exactly, Reese. Exactly. And I think, folks, you just want to avoid one of my transfer clients that I've got right now walked in and 80 kids were there. And 80 kids said that the coach gave them a starting spot. So that's what you want to avoid. How you avoid it, check the stats. Look and see how many kids are starting, right?
Everyone has an A until you lose it? Was it like along them lines?
Yeah, I wouldn't bring, I don't know. He just said everybody was promised a starting spot. So how it worked, you know, how that worked. And that's, remember, that's always coming from the kid too.
Yeah.
So, but 80 is a lot to show up and nobody knew 80 was showing up. That is a lot. But see, what's happening is a lot of schools have B teams and C teams. Why? Because they're forced to do it. Why? It's becoming more common because of COVID. Schools went an entire year without incomes. Some of these schools, very little income, especially small private NAIA schools. So now they've got to figure out how to not go under. We're losing schools at a rate of about one every other month, small NAIA schools around the country. Huh, Joe? That's how we got Joe. He was one of
exactly.
I'll add on. So some conferences, if you look at the GMAC in the Midwest, they have a whole developmental league, GMAC 2 is called. It's a reserve league. And so now if you look at those rosters, those schools, they have to be higher because they're going to have a whole another team that plays in that league. And so, you know, I like that because the players get to play. If you're a freshman and you're not getting time in varsity, then you get the chance to play JV and work your way up. But
why not? It's like JV in high school. As long as you get to play and develop, I don't see the harm in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. As long as those JV opportunities are there, if that's the question that should be asked. If you see a roster over 40, the next question should be, is there a JV team? Is there opportunities? Yeah. A club situation or whatever it may be. I think I've seen a couple of Division I schools that are above 40 and I know they don't have a, you know, JV team. I'm like, you know, I can't understand how they're managing that group, but But yeah, that's the first question that should come out of your mouth.
Yeah, great points, guys. You're giving some gold here. Oh, this is a big one. I saw this one earlier. Okay. Thanks, Doug. He loves our Q&A podcast. Thanks for listening. And by the way, people, share this. Tell a friend. You've got a son that is getting a lot of camp invites, but he doesn't know how to tell the difference between the camp invite letter as being just a spam letter and one that's saying, I really like you, I've seen you before, you know, come play for me. And let's do this in parts. What's the first piece of that, Reese? How do people tell the difference between a spam letter, just inviting them to a camp, and an actual genuine, I need you to get you to the camp to assess you?
There has to be something personal within that email. So, hey, I saw you at this game. You had a nice goal, good assist. I saw you play the last 20 minutes, whatever it might be. Something where they have seen you play. I spoke to your coach about you. Something along them lines to where if they can copy and paste your name out, put someone else's name and send that email out, then that's not personal to you. It needs to be personal to you. So that would be my advice when you're looking at these emails.
Then his follow-up on this, Joe, is he said, he talks about time management. He says it's really about time management. You know, just as coaches have limited time, players have limited time. With this, which is true, but I also say you're the one looking for the job, so you may have to put in extra time. But he said, we just got another camp invite from another D1 school that he's really interested in, who's done a phone interview with him, seen him play at another camp, and then they're inviting him to a showcase. So why, Joe, might a coach have seen a player play, worked with a player, talked to a player, called a player, still not be recruiting that player, but yet inviting him to another camp?
Yeah, that's that's definitely a good question. And I do think that there's, you know, a lot of coaches are bringing their recruits to their camp. Guys that they've seen, guys that even they've committed, they want to see their better players come to the camp to show, what's going on, what the level is like. At the same time, they might be kind of keeping that relationship going, keeping it open, and as they look at other stuff and other players. So it's definitely, when you start having those good conversations and you're talking to that coach, I think, you know, you start have to have some honest upfront questions and saying, okay, where do we stand here? And, you know, this is my second camp or whatever, you've seen me 4 or 5 times now. What's the next step? And, you know, I think that's a legitimate question to ask a coach, because you're moving down that line. You're having a good conversation. I shouldn't need to go to 3 more camps to get, you know, a decision. So I think it's, the camp stuff. I'll give you an example. We had a player that my son played with last year, and it was June in the playoffs of last year. And a Division I school had just had a couple players leave into the transfer portal, like in May. And they liked what they saw of this kid. He was a gap year kid. And they invited him there to their camp in July. And our coach is like, wait, like, you've seen this kid play all week. Why do you need to see him more? And he went up there and did the camp, and he ended up playing for him this year as a freshman, gap year freshman. So a lot of coaches are using the ID camp for that final kind of get them over the top. Okay, we're offering this kid a spot on the team.
Right. So, yeah. Remember, we talked earlier in one of our podcasts about every coach has a war board. If you're number 5 on the war board, you may not be – they might still be wanting to just keep in touch with you, knowing that players will probably drop off. That could be part of it too, right? All right.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? Choya and Lori Durham ask, my daughter's looking for a way to stand out. sending a handwritten note with her YouTube link, highlight video, and social media links. And then she also had the idea of smoothing, including small packages of candy or something along those lines. Is this allowed? Well, yeah, it's allowed. I don't know how I'd feel about getting candy from a stranger. My mommy told me not to take candy from a stranger. But I'm lazy. I wouldn't type in the YouTube link and social media links. I'm going to type them wrong. It's going to take me 5 times to do it. I'd rather copy and paste them. But that's just me. What do you think about this, Reese? Would you have appreciated this?
Yeah, I think it is different. It would be nice. I think send the email with the links and then send a card saying, hey, I sent you an email, you know, I hope it finds you well. And so something along them lines to where, yeah, make it easy, but again, stand out as well.
Right, right.
I think the personal touch you can definitely do in an email. Saying, I watched your game last night, great goal in the 70th minute or whatever. I think the candy stuff would probably be a little too much. I think that would be, you know, like Don said, I'm not sure if that would really work. But I think, you know, the what you said here being saying a way to stand out. And I feel like that was one of my mottos, don't fit in, but stand out and do that on the field. You know, try to figure out ways to stand out on the field in your highlight tape or your regular games, and whether you're making good tackles or creating goals, that's a good way to stand out.
Yeah. Good points. Good points, guys. All right. What else we got? What's the difference between SRUSA and NCSA? Yeah. We get this one a lot. The names kind of sound familiar. People think that everybody's the same. I'll just answer this one real quick, guys. NCSA is a service. SRUSA is an agency. So we individually represent players to college coaches that we think are the right fit for them. I've never been a part of NCSA. I don't know anybody who particularly has, but I can tell you they'll help you with your video. I do know they're not, at least at the head of the company, they're not soccer people. I've looked that up before. We're a soccer only company. But they'll help you put your video up there, and they'll mass email to coaches throughout the country, but it's fairly non-discriminatory emailing. So, you know, I used to, even as a junior college, get NCSA emails, and I'd look at the player and they couldn't play for me. And after 5 or 6 times of that, it just kind of became spam to me. But I do know that people swear by it, that it's worked for them. I know that our volleyball coaches used to use it. It just didn't really work for us in the soccer world in any schools we were at. But that was, again, that was just us. Now, SRUSA is very hands-on. We are soccer specialists. Most of us are former college coaches. We've got a lot of knowledge. We've got a lot of connections. We make a lot of phone calls. We do a lot of counseling on the academic end of it because we've walked kids through doctor's degrees and engineering degrees, and we've walked kids through into business programs, and we've watched enough happen, and we've talked to enough counselors. We've got a lot of experience in that area. And then of course the soccer end, I think we know as well as anybody in the country. Between our entire staff, we were trading videos back and forth, staff today, about our clients. What do you think of this kid? What do you think of this kid? Do you think this kid would fit there? So we're a little more hands-on than they are. And then I guess the biggest difference is overall, for what most would consider equivalent packages, we're cheaper and we do more for it. But that's a biased opinion, of course. Anything else you want to add to that, Chris, or anybody?
I mean, just add into the fact that we do like showcases, events, just to add to things like the hands-on approach, like even the example today, we've got a player who's been named MAC Player of the Year, Division One Conference, and he's got a Canadian passport. So I know the guy who's the director of soccer for the Canadian Premier League, been conversing with him about him, and that's just like one example of 10 that's happened this week sort of situation. So very different, like say, it depends what you want. Everyone's couple. I mean, at the minute, I've just signed a player last month who was actually signed with NCSA, but he's signed with us now. but it might be vice versa as well.
One of those last year, Chris.
Yeah, it might be vice versa. It's not about, it's completely different. One's like a platform and one's an agency.
Yeah, there you go.
John, I would say the one thing that I, you know, just coming out of the college ranks, I would receive those emails that you're talking about, like those email blasts, and it would go to, you know, across the country. And you're right. I think after a while, it becomes a bit of a spam thing. And so I think the personal touch that we're able to offer, you know, if you're dealing with five players or six players, and you can make those individual phone calls to the appropriate level of coach and connect those dots, I think that's a definite personal touch that I don't think that other these other agencies are doing.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree. Okay. Chris Hall, I hope your turn. So Chris is a college coach, college coaching friend of ours. He's at Reinhardt University, and he gets our tweet of the week. Young college players new to the transfer portal. If you didn't play a significant role at your current school, you're almost certainly going to have to transfer down in some sense. Conference, level, money, et cetera. Good luck to you all, but perspective is key. Would you like to comment on that, Reese?
Yeah, I think he has a good point, because what we're looking at as coaches and what coaches are looking at that we work with is, you know, how was this player done at the last school? And if they haven't played, if they've had lack of minutes, then you're going to ask the question, why is that? You know, what's the reason for that? Were they not good enough? And so, yeah, I think he has a good point in that you probably are going to transfer down because the level you were at, you wasn't getting the minutes that you wanted or that you felt like you deserved. So that's the reason why you're transferring. And it's not always the way, obviously. That's, you know, that it may be you had an injury or whatever it might be, and you may transfer up to a better school or conference or whatever it might be again. So that's perception. But yeah, it's going to be tough to get more money or go to a higher level or a better conference if you haven't played, because college coaches are going to say, why haven't you played?
Yeah, I did a tweet about this earlier in the week too, Joe, and talking about that, you know, when you are at a 2-win Division I school and you got very little playing time, you played charity minutes in 6 or 7, 8 games, and then you want to transfer, how do you look at that as a coach?
Yeah, I think that's it's definitely, you know, if you're looking at a couple different, you know, when you scout a team, you're looking at how many who's their top goal scorer. So if a situation like this, you're looking at those types of things. Okay, how was the team? Team was not that good, didn't play that much. Okay, that's kind of a red flag. Okay, well, how's this guy going to come into my program and make an impact? So I think these are the things that, you know, we talk about all the time. And I think that as an incoming player, you have to look at their roster. You have to look at the people in front of that play your position and ask that and see if there's opportunity to play there. I mean, instead of waiting and think that you're just going to go there, show up and play, you have to say, okay, this is a top-notch program. What are my opportunities to play here? And they also have to ask yourself is like, do I want to be at a certain level? Do I want to play at that level? Or do I just want to play and get playing time? And these are questions I don't think some of these players are asking themselves in terms of how important is playing time to them. And that's something that people just assume. But I think that you have to kind of say, where's my opportunity? I want to play. If you want to play, going to a top school right away maybe isn't your best choice. So these are the questions you really have to ask yourself before you go to that program, I think.
All valid points. Yeah, I agree, guys. It's something that players are going to have to deal with more and more as college rosters rise, as the transfer portal takes over. So there are players in the transfer portal, folks, that are moving up. We've had a number of them over this past few years, just our clients. But there are players moving up too. Players that started for their teams, that were captaining their teams, that proved themselves Division III, Division II, Division I to Division I, lower level Division II to upper level Division II or up or Division I. Players that want to try to win national titles. that's, you're competing against those kids too. So Chris Hall makes a really good point here about players moving down, but there's also players moving up you've got to compete with.
Well, Don, I will say too, and you probably know this as a Division II coach, and when I was Division II, when you had a good year, your better players, you're kind of wondering, okay, they might think it's time for me to move up and go to Division I. So there is definitely the situations when players do move up.
Okay. What else we got, Chris?
No, a lot of just any other topics this week? I chose that tweet of the week because it was quite relevant at the minute. That's why, unfortunately, Reese didn't choose you. But yeah. Any sort of topics this week? I mean, there's been the signing day stuff. There's been the transfers being quite big. Anything else you want to kind of bring up?
What else? Don, about the transfer thing. I did hear a coach told me the other day, and it was a Division I coach, and they're saying that one of the new rules that might happen with the transfer portal is that if you take a player from a Division I school, or actually any school, if you take a player through the transfer portal and you give that player a certain scholarship, say that player is a freshman and he comes in as a sophomore, that new program is going to be kind of on the hook for that scholarship for the rest of that player's till he graduates or she graduates. So I guess they're trying to say, like, if you're going to recruit from this, you're going to honor that scholarship through graduation, no matter if
that's not in place yet. Right. This is a proposal.
I believe it's in place for Power Fives right now. It's going to be in place this year. I'm not sure about the non-Power Fives.
That's the first time I've heard that one.
I just heard this last weekend.
Like buying a player's contract, huh?
Yeah, you have to honor it no matter what type thing.
Oh, that will change everything.
It could.
Coaches will be less likely to grab players. They know that.
They're less likely to kind of roll the dice, right? Yeah. So,
100%.
And now more homework and have to make sure they make the right decisions there.
And that's so in the transfer portal, there's going to be like, I wonder what the percentages of the transfer portal is, like the top players who want to move up and they've done well. Like we've got a couple of players who's going to be in transfer portal, who's for example, a player in Division I wants to go to high Division I. But I bet the vast majority of them guys in the transfer portal are guys who are just not playing and want to kind of leave, but they're not going to, no one's going to take a gamble on them, surely.
If
they've got to put money into it. I didn't know that. That's,
well, again, if they come over no money, they're no money. But if you do offer them.
Yeah.
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 And I don't know if that, I'm going to have to research that one, Joe, because is it just college football? Because there really is no Power Five in soccer, right? It's the football schools that are Power Five, really. And right?
Yeah. So I think the conference is like, I know like one of the rules in some of the Power Fives is that if you compete for two soccer seasons, I believe it's a Power Five rule that if you left after your sophomore season, say you went pro, you could go back to that school and go for free. You know, if you're whatever scholarship you was, you can go back there and complete your degree and they will pay for it. So that's a Power Five rule. And even in soccer, now, the new rule that we just talked about, I believe it's across the board for Power Five sports.
So that's ACC, SEC, Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10?
Correct.
And of course, Big 12 doesn't have men's soccer. Interesting.
So I think this, the transfer portal's new. And they're seeing the different things that are going on, the trends each year, right? And they're trying to figure out how, you know, they want to make it available, but they don't want to make it to be so chaotic, I would say. So trying to tweak this, and they're going to probably tweak it each and every year until they really get a good feel for it.
There we go.
SDC doesn't have men's soccer either, by the way.
Don, you just broke up then, but yeah.
Oh.
It's all right. It's all good.
It's my internet. Unstable. I said SEC doesn't have men's soccer either, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about it. Anything that came up to you this week, Reese, that you wanted to talk about or mention to somebody that could help somebody?
I think there's another anxiety date, for these young players in signing day, right? So you've got June 15th, obviously, when you can start talking to coaches, depending on your year, obviously going up to junior year. And then obviously you've got this date now, early signing day, where you sign a national letter of intent. So, you know, two dates in quite quick succession within the year where, you know, you're seeing everyone, hey, I got this verbal offer. Hey, now I'm signing. And so, again, it just goes back to what I've been saying, in these past episodes that we've had of, you know, control the controllable, do everything that you can do. Don't worry about others. And, you know, follow your own path. So, yeah, that would be my advice, as you go forward. And
And if you notice, guys, I saw almost no announcements of men's signings, very few. And then most of them were women's signings. Yes, yeah,
that's true.
And most of the women's signings were to Division I schools, couple Division II, but not many. I know we had one, a few, very few Division III. And mostly well-known name Division I's. And every time that I see an announcement, I look at the player, a lot of them are national team pool. They're the leaders for their teams at big clubs. So there's a lot of kids at big clubs that are not committed yet, not signed yet. And it's still a lot of work to do in the coaching world. And then some coaches seasons aren't over yet. Some coaches will leave. Every job that opens up creates an opening at another school. And remember that every school, when you have a verbal commitment, if the kids haven't signed yet, then you have a verbal commitment that doesn't hold up. So what's going to happen is if a coach knows that they're leaving, they've quietly told their AD says, don't say anything till the season's over. That's all normal. Then that coach likely won't have early commitment signings because they want to leave that to the new coach to decide so the new coach can build their own team. So there's all kinds of movements. We had well over 120 Division I movements between the men and the women's last year. So that's a lot going on. And then Division II, same thing. Division III, same thing. NAIA, same thing, more maybe. Junior colleges might be the biggest movements in the country. So there's a lot of opportunities to get picked up still yet to come. Right, guys?
Yep.
Lucas has put a few questions into the form as well. Apologies, Lucas.
Oh, let's get them.
We just spotted him now. Sorry. So he's been sat there patiently waiting.
you can just read them.
Yep. Yeah, sure. First question, any advantages or disadvantages to taking a gap year?
We talked about the advantages. You get older, bigger, stronger, faster, more mature. Lucas, if you need specific ideas about a gap year and you want to go to Spain, contact us. Disadvantages. What are the disadvantages to a gap year? I can honestly only think of advantages. If you can afford affordability, maybe, what do you do? What do you think the disadvantages might be, Joe?
I guess the only disadvantage would be like, okay, if you're a 2022 and people know you as a 2022 and then you don't go anywhere, are you still on the radar? So you have to make sure you're communicating with those college coaches to make sure you're saying, hey, I'm going to take a gap year. I'm still going to play with my club team, still going to stay active. That would be, to me, really the only real negative. And not starting your college path, possibly, because, you know, if you do attend a JC or attend a four-year school during your gap year, you could start to work on your whole transfer stuff. So you got to make sure you're doing the right thing academically during that time, so you don't get that could get messy if you go full time and stuff like that. So that would be the only real negative, I think.
Yeah, and if you are taking classes, don't take 12 units or more. Do not take under 12 units, 11 units or less. That way your clock doesn't start. All right. right.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more questions just quickly.
Yep.
Lucas has put, how many years is an athlete eligible to play in college?
Four. That's an easy one.
Yep.
Five in Canada. Think about it. He's Canadian. That's why he's asking. Five in Canada, four in the U.S. By the way, people don't know that. If you want, you guys are interested in the Canadian pathway, we've got some coaches up in Canada too. Some really good winning programs that we're friends with. So let us know if you're interested in something like that. We've sent a few there, haven't we, Chris? Yeah, I know we have.
Yeah, we have. Keep interrupting. Yeah. Are you still eligible for soccer if you do part-time college, if you're pacing your education slower while, for example, working? So part-time college, are you still going to be eligible to play?
In order to play in college in the United States, you have to take 12 units or more. I don't think any level is less than that, which is considered a full-time student. So if you are taking 9 units, you can't play in college. But if you take a gap year and you're only taking 9 units, let's say in college, you're taking a slower pace, and then you go back and you want to play, you still get your 4 years.
Yeah, the only way you can go below 12 units if you're a grad student, right? If you're a grad student, you can take less.
That's right. Good point. Really good point.
And then just the final quick one. By when should a highlight video be ready to go?
I'm not sure what he means, but you know, junior year, you by the end of that junior year, certainly you should have enough film to be able to put something together very nicely to make a go of it your entire senior year. On the guys' side, on the girls' side, push that up a year, depending on how good of a player you are.
And there we go. That's it. Thanks,
Lucas. Right on, everybody. Okay.
All right.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks, man. Thanks for showing up.
Cool. There we go.
So, everybody that listened, thanks for showing up. You can check us out at sportsrecruitingusa.com or www.srusasoccer.com for short. Either one will work. If you got any other questions, I think we've already got some questions that I saw pop up somewhere for next week already. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys live again next week. Thanks, Joe. Enjoy. Thanks, Reese. Thanks, Chris. Much appreciated.
Thanks,
everyone. All right, everyone. Take care. Bye.